So, Andy, before we do the big hello, welcome back to Mission and everything, can I just confirm you've actually plugged your mic in this week?
So last week we said that we can use this software. This is really easy. You just send me the link and I click it, and we did the whole show. And then I listened to it back and I thought, doesn't sound right to me, that. And then I looked and the USB wasn't plugged in on my mic. So it was using my built-in computer mic. So hopefully, look, I have a mic here right in front of me. Hopefully it's plugged in, it's working, and we should sound a little bit better this week.
Well, at least people have to hear you properly. I mean, you're watching me with like probably the weirdest. I need to get one. I mean, we've got them. We've got the screens coming. So we get rid of this really weird every time I move sort of. So there's loads of boxes and bits and things in the background, which isn't very appealing or very interesting to look at.
No, and I'm still in an empty room because I'm moving next week. So everything's packed up, ready to go. So, yeah, we'll get the green screens up and we'll have something exciting behind us. But the exciting bit, first of all, is this is a regular thing now, Matt. This is episode 4 and we're putting it on the podcast part of YouTube. So you can watch us, but we're also putting it out on all the podcast channels. So if you don't just listen to us, if you're driving to work or whatever you want to put a podcast on, we're there.
Now, I have no idea where to find a podcast or how to do that. So I'm guessing you're the one who knows all that info.
No, I don't know either. No, but right, Andy does. Andy does, our video guy. So he's setting all that up for us, mate. And I have actually checked it on my iPhone. There's a little app that says podcasts. You go on there, Mission Darts is dead easy to find. So, yeah, if you want to just listen to us, you don't want to see our faces and Matt going in and out of Zoom and all that sort of stuff, then you can listen to us on podcast channel.
Well, I guess we've got a lot of topics to talk about today. There's a lot going on in the world of darts and, of course, our usual silliness. And do you know what? I think the best place to start.
Bit of success for Mr. Edgar we might have to talk about this week.
It's one of those, isn't it, right? This is where, is it success or was it nearly success?
Of course it's success. Let's kick off with that. Let's kick off with the Welsh. You talk us through it, Matt, because I didn't even know you were going.
I didn't. It was a very late decision. I managed to enter it with a couple of hours to spare. It was my birthday last week, having a bit of a holiday, having a bit of time. And then when I looked at where the calendar, scheduling was, I was doing a little bit of filming nearby. And I did plan to do some more filming. And I've been dying to get down to the area to do some filming for my own YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Now, I thought I'd have enough time to go and get that footage. And I thought, well, what I'll do, I'll go there. We'll have some time at the beach. I'll go get the footage I need to get. I can do a video diary of the Open and I can play in the Open. And I've not been able to practice for weeks. We've been out doing our filming. I've been doing lots of other bits of work and things. So I've had no practice since getting back from Sweden. I've not even picked up a single dart.
No.
3 weeks. That's not ideal. So, I'll say not a single dart. We threw some darts when we was out and about and was just chucking in the board.
Yeah.
And I was using house darts or other things because I didn't go get Matt McCall. So, no practice. So I thought, well, I'll go along. If I can get to a quarterfinal or something like that, it'll just strengthen my position for Lakeside, which ultimately is the whole goal and everything I've set out to do this year, get to Lakeside. Yeah. And, you know, whenever you pick up a set of darts, there's two places you want to play. Ali Pali and Lakeside.
Yeah.
And for me, this would give me fulfillment. You know, some people set out to be world champion. Some people want to be world number one. I wanted to be a professional dart player.
Yeah.
And if I can play on the two most iconic stages in the world of darts, for me, that would be my fulfillment as a player. And I'll get the opportunity to do that this year. So the reason I'll get the opportunity to do that this year is because I actually made the final.
Yeah. Do you know what, Matt? Looking at the scores and looking at the averages, which we can do on Dart Connect now, and going through, and I thought, and I think first round, you kicked off with like a 90-something average, 4-0. Oh, my God, he's on fire. Where's he found this from when he hasn't thrown a dart? And then you put in a dodgy 60-something and got over the line, and I thought, ooh, I've been in that position before. So now your expectation is, I'm not really playing that well. I'm not prepared. No expectation. Always beware the darter with no expectation. And on you went right the way through to the final. And had things gone slightly the other way, it could have gone the other way. But fair play to the guy that beat you in the end. He came like a train, didn't he, after leg three? So, but yeah, to get to the final, mate, when you literally only decided the day before or whenever it was, is pretty impressive and more than cemented your place in Lakeside. I think you're about 17th, so you're almost top 16 seeds.
I mean, well, actually, there's more to that. So that's the bare bones of it. But when you look at it deeper, Leonard Gates is confirmed pretty much for Ali Pally, and he will go to Ali Pally. So Leonard Gates is above me in the rankings. He's coming out. Also, Wesley Plazier is confirmed for Ali Pally, and he will be playing Ali Pally. So that is two players that are above me that will come off of the rankings. So I'm actually, as far as I know, I'll be 15 as things stand. And there's 1.5 months left to go. Now, as we know, my diary is absolutely chocker. Does Lakeside count towards Lakeside? It does, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So I've got the Masters and I've got the World Open, which are going to be taking part in Budapest. Looking forward to those. But if I was going to look at, can I get to any other events? I don't know if I can.
No.
So am I realistically going to get seeded? I'm going to need a run at the Masters.
And again, look, your initial thought was, can I get to Lakeside? It wasn't, can I get in the top 16? It was, can I get to Lakeside? We know how busy our diaries are, and the fact that you've done that for me is pretty impressive because you're a part-time player. And that's,
I wouldn't even say part-time, I'd say quarter-time.
Yeah, quarter-time player, hardly going to events, certainly not practicing like we used to, like professional players. And I think that kind of shows really what level you've always been at to be able to only do it part quarter-time and still get there. There's no disrespect to the WDF. The fact is you're a good player, and the fact that you can still bang in a 90 average is pretty impressive. So I think whatever happens now, whatever happens, Matt, and the fact is you're there, and it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter who you get. You can beat them all. It doesn't matter whether you've got to play an extra round or whatever it is. The fact is you've got there. So, box ticked.
And the thing is, I know where I am. I know where my game is. I'm realistic. I've never been a world beater. I've never been a world's top 16 player. Mm. But what I've always been is hard to beat. And I made a joke when I was on the PDC, because I used to call myself the standard or the standard bearer of the PDC. But although I was saying that as a joke, it was actually very true, because anytime you look at the PDC, 128 tour card holders, when you go there and go, can I meet the standard? The standard isn't Luke Humphries. The standard isn't Michael Van Gerwen. That's the elite. The standard is the mean. Who's number 64? That's the standard. And I was always just above the tour card cutoff point. I was always around that point. So if you wanted to be a tour card holder, I was the person you should judge yourself against, because I could get a tour card because I got one for 11 years and I could keep hold of it for a prolonged period of time. So if you was looking and going, shall I go to Q school? I was the guy to look at and go, if I can beat Matt, I can live on the tour. I was sort of a joke in terms, but very realistic, the sort of standard of that. So, yeah, never been a world beater. But the thing is, now I've got 3 months to prepare. Now that's dangerous. That's dangerous I've got 3 months to get my body right, which, as we know, my body doesn't work the same anymore. I've done a lot of things in my youth, wrestling, MMA, boxing. Yeah. I suffer for that now, along with the repetitive strain of darts. But I've got 3 months to get that right. So I'm in the treatment room on a weekly basis now. I can practice and prepare to get myself ready for it. I will tell you this now. When Lakeside comes, I won't be the guy that sat here right now. And I'm going to be dangerous.
Yeah, you'll be ready. You'll be as ready as you can be. And that means, you're absolutely dangerous to any player. There's no, you're not going to be playing Luke Humphries or Luke Littler or Gerwin Price. And again, it's not disrespectful. The fact is you're not, and you know that there isn't anybody playing there that you on your day can't beat. So it makes you very dangerous.
There's no one in that field who's done what I've done.
Yeah, exactly. And while we're on the Welsh, it's quite a lot to talk about the Welsh, really, in the end, because almost as expected these days, Bo won both. But she beat Rhiann in both finals, a mission player. Rhiann O'Sullivan. So that's exciting for Rhiann, you know, getting to the fight. And again, I don't want this any of the ladies to think, oh, well, if I've got Bo, I'm out. But because it doesn't always work out like that. But I think she is proving to be head and shoulders above the rest at the moment. So therefore, if you're getting to the final against Bo, you've beaten everybody else pretty much. So fair play to Rhiann. Yourself in the singles final. James Sorrell won the doubles. Rhiann also won the women's doubles. So it was a bit of a mission event, really, the Welsh. Good to see.
Yeah, team mission. We've got some quality players. We really do have some quality players. And again, I think with a lot of the team mission players, I think the future's brighter than the past.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the exciting things about the players that we've got. We haven't got someone in there, really, who we've signed off the back of, oh, they're in the top 16 at the moment, or we haven't got that player.
No.
But what we do have is we've got potential.
We have.
I think the future is very, very bright. And certainly the back end of this year, I think we're going to see some big performances. I won't be surprised to see a mission player pick up a title very soon.
No, I wouldn't. And just while you're talking about that, I'm pretty sure that if I just find it, we've just signed somebody. Keelan Kay has joined Mission Darts. Two-time development tour winner, Keelan Kay, joined Mission this week. So there you go. There's another good young player coming through. So great to see. Great to see. And great to see you doing well, mate. That was nice. That was nice. Yeah,
well, that's
a new shirt on. A new shirt, which has been mentioned. Rather smart. The new Edgar Mission shirt. Looking pretty good as well.
And the Edgar Mission darts won't be far away.
They won't be far away. And looking like you might need a smaller size soon as well.
Yeah, losing a bit of timber. That's going to continue. So by the time Lakeside comes around, I will be at least a stone lighter than I am now.
Goodness.
And I am 1.5 stone lighter than when I first started this journey. So wow. I will be another stone lighter. That is part of the plan and part of the dietary and part. This is it, right? Because when you get older and you start suffering a little bit more with niggles and injuries, you've got two choices. You've got to stop or you've got to work harder than ever. And I would say, because of my body and how it is, I would say I would be one of the hardest working dart players. To get me ready for a game is a process.
Yes.
And the thing is, I'm willing to do these next 3 months. I'm willing to put everything into it.
You're almost the Tiger Woods of darts these days, because his body's completely broken. And I think he can only like play if he walks very slowly, and he has to have 3 massage sessions, and somebody has to adjust his back, and has to everything. It's like you, isn't it? It's like, right, Matt, you're playing at 2 o'clock. So if you could start getting ready at 7,
you know, but that's it. That is it right there. And that is why I'm confident I'll be better at Lakeside.
Yeah.
Because the tournament, you said it there, I started off 95 average. I was running 100 for most of the game. I just missed a bit at the end there to bring it down. Next game, I was in the 60s because I had to sit. I mean, these events, you don't have practice boards very often.
No,
I sat down for an hour to an hour and a half. And then when I went back to it again, I couldn't feel the darts.
Yeah.
So, and then you notice I got better towards the back end of the day. That's because
getting more frequent. Yeah.
The boards was more available to practice in between games, and the games was coming quicker. So with Lakeside, I've got to get ready for one match.
Yes.
And that's it. I leave it for a few days. One match. That's going to suit me. And that's why I'm going to say this now, and I'm going to stick by it. There's 3 outcomes at Lakeside. Outcome number 1, I get it wrong and I don't play well. And if I can't get myself ready for one game, I don't play no more.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going through all this process. I'm not putting all this effort and work in if I can't do it. if I've lost it.
Yeah.
I win Lakeside, and I guarantee you now I will never throw a competitive dart ever again in my life if I win that title.
Okay, yeah.
They will be the last darts I play. Yeah. Now, this for you, this is the outcome you're probably going, oh, no, because I really want a bit more Matt's time next year.
So, yeah, I don't like outcome number three.
I reached the quarterfinal or the semifinal. I play really well, and I go out in a really good game, and I think that there's more on the table.
Yeah, no, I don't want that outcome, Matt. Can you just win it, and get over with, please? That'd be great. But while you were having fun in Wales, and do it, there was another tournament on, funnily enough. PDC in Germany, which you won't have seen any of because you were either on the beach in the arcades or playing darts. But Peter Wright, like,
I've seen a lot of clips of it, and very emotional, wasn't he? And
Biggs Littler in the final, who's we know is on fire, played brilliant. Littler looked like he was winning it. I watched a couple of Peter Wright's early games. He was using Whitlock darts, actually Whitlock darts. And the commentator's actually said, Simon's going home now. Is he taking his darts with him? So anyway, funnily enough, the next game, Peter changed his darts, as he does, to something completely different. I mean, that's the thing that gets me with Peter. The Whitlock dart, you know what the Whitlock dart is. That's such a weird, aggressive, funny cuts dart. And then he goes to like a ring dart, but it looked quite fat. It wasn't a slim ring dart that he normally uses, like a two-tone. And I'm like, they're not even close. And then he goes on and wins it. And I'm like, well, who saw that coming? Because I thought Peter's been going downhill for a while. So who saw that coming? But he played brilliant. So
there's one person who saw it coming, though. On Peter Wright.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Look back through his interviews. Couple of interviews ago, he was saying, I'm going to win titles soon. I still got majors in me, all this sort of thing. When everyone else lost faith, he didn't.
Yes.
And that is one of the things, like, a lot of people make noise around you. A lot of people tell you you can't do something, or they want to react very quickly to a negative result. Or Peter Wright didn't believe any of it. And that, I think, is something to look at with Peter Wright and go, how strong.
Yeah,
it is Peter Wright. In a world where all the pundits, all the fans, everyone were telling people were telling him to retire.
Yeah, well, and I've always thought, other than age. So you know, if you're 60 plus or whatever, and your eyes are going and your body's not the same, but I'll take that out of the equation. I've always thought you don't become a rubbish dart player overnight. Either something changes in here, or something goes wrong with your body, or something outside of darts messes you up, and that's your downfall. You know, it's very rare that somebody who's won world championships, been world number one, suddenly just falls off a cliff, unless something major has gone wrong. And we know that that's happened to certain people in the past, and it's very sad when it does. But and I know Peter has had family, there were some family problems with illness and what have you, but you don't lose it. And he's not old enough to have lost it. So I was always thinking, has he still got the belief? And you've just said it right there. He still believed. So if he still believed and you still got that ability, it's a matter of time. It's a matter of time before you come back.
It's that expression, isn't it? Whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Almost an Edgarism, that. I like it. tell me about, there's so much going on in the world. Tell me about Champions Week Super Series.
Interesting week. I mean, I was all Camp Connor Scott. I thought Connor Scott was going to pick up the title, another mission player playing fantastic darts, top of the challenge tour. But it went to Marvin Van Velzen.
Yeah.
Probably one of the surprise packages. But do you know what? I covered Marvin Van Velzen's week not too long ago on commentary. And while I was there, it was the week he didn't win. So it's the last series.
Okay.
And I said, this guy's a player. I like this guy. There's something about him. And then he won a week. And I was like, okay, that's an achievement. That's a step up for him. I certainly didn't think he'd go win Champions Week, but he has. He had the hero's welcome when he got home. This guy can play.
Yeah.
Recovered from dartitis. which was an issue we had a few years ago. And I think the thing with that is you value things. It means so much more to you. You appreciate it more. Like, again, I'm going to go back to me again. Of course I am. At the weekend, going on stage in a ranked final, before, you just feel like, this is me, I deserve this, this is where I should be, all these things. Now you go up there, it might be the last time I ever do that. And I'm aware of that when I'm going on there, and I appreciate that. I actually said that to Andy Davidson afterwards, because afterwards he was like a little bit like, and I says, look, just make sure you enjoy this moment. Now, Marvin doesn't need to be told that. He knows to enjoy the moment, because he probably didn't believe that was going to happen when he had dartitis. He probably... At the point of having dartitis, his goal would be to turn up on a Monday night and be able to play with freedom and just release the darts. And he wouldn't have cared if he averaged 80, 90, 40, 30. It wouldn't have mattered. His goal would have been to play with freedom. So the fact that he won £25,000 in now what is probably the biggest event outside of professional darts, the Super Series, or certainly one of the most watched.
Yes.
Or the most exposed, or the most like, in regards to that, he would have appreciated that moment so much. He was probably one of the players, like, if Jimmy Van Ski would have won it, who he beat in the final.
Yeah.
Jimmy Van Ski is on a journey.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying Marvin Velzen's not on a journey to the top, but Jimmy Van Ski's been winning WDF ranked events. He's doing one challenge tours. He's on his way to the Pro Tour. We're pretty sure he'll probably be there next year, whether it's Q School or Challenge Tour, however he gets there. Yeah. We think Jimmy Maskey. He's got a world championship spot booked. He's at Lakeside, likely to get one for Ali Pally as well. So Jimmy Van Ski's on a journey where if he'd have won that, he'd have probably felt it was more of a stepping stone, or it's something on the way to. Where for Marvin, that was potentially his crowning moment, his moment that will live with him for the rest of. And he hit a 180 in the last leg, 3-all.
Yeah.
$25,000 on the line.
Yeah, 180.
And he smacks in a 180.
It's just brilliant. I love it when people do that, because it means you're
You're playing.
Well, yeah, unless it's me against you, but it means you're not thinking about the moment. We've all been there and thought about the moment. I famously missed four darts at double 10 to beat Gary Anderson when he was world champion in the PDC, and it was because I was in the moment. I'm stood over there thinking, I'm going to beat Gary Anderson. He's world champion. I've played great. I'm going to be talking about this for years. And all that's going through your head. And if you can get rid of that, and it's just another double 10 that you've hit 1,000 of in your lifetime, just pop it in. That's where you need to be. I don't need to tell you that. You know that very well. So
I've got a story I can share on that. Very, very similar. Ooh. Because you said Gary Anderson, which is what made me think.
Oh, don't mention the 170, Matt. Nobody's ever heard that story before.
No, I'm going to mention what happened a few days before, actually.
Oh, okay.
So it was a four-day event in Milton Keynes. I'm playing Gary Anderson, 5-5. I have three darts at double 16, my favorite double. If you said to me at that period of time, Matt, you've got three darts at double 16, or we're going to shoot you, I'd have been like, okay, I'm fine. No problems. I missed three darts at double 16. Gary Anderson took out like 82 or 88 or something, beat me 6-5. I was gutted. And then the end of that phase, 2 days later, Gary Anderson was second round. I played Kai Fang Lang first round, beat him to play Gary Anderson. Now, so on the moment I saw the draw, I was going, oh, Gary Anderson, Gary Anderson. And my brother's messaging me like, don't overlook this guy to get to Gary. You've got to beat him first. And I beat him. And he's like, and it was 6-5 as well. And I believe Kai Fang missed a dart at tops of 160 to win the match. Oh, wow. And then he's like, oh, right, you shouldn't have, you look like you overlooked that. And I'm like, no, it's fine. I'm gunning for Gary. And then I beat him with a 170 finish. Oh, yes, I've got it in there.
There you go, you got it in. Nobody's ever heard that story before. I think it's on about 150 different YouTube videos. But anyway, final one, Women's Series.
Mm. Final weekend.
Yeah, final weekend this weekend coming up.
Yeah. So at the end of this weekend, we'll know who's going to be in the World Championships on the Women's Tour.
Yeah, we should probably say at this stage, obviously record this during the week, but it's going to come out every Sunday. So to give people.
Well, it will be out before the end of the women's series, so we're still not going to know who they're going to be. Not. So
I mean, you know, who's winning it?
Bo's winning it, but Bo's already got those positions in the Grand Slam and the World Championships off the women's match play.
Yes.
So Bo's already going to be in position. We know she's going to take the Grand Slam. She's not going to take Ali Pali.
Yeah.
So two players off
the both.
You can't do both.
You That's can't due do to the Grand Slam. Oh, sorry. She's not going to do Ali Pali. She's going to do Lakeside.
Lakeside, yeah.
She's going to do Grand Slam and Lakeside.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
So there's two positions available. At the moment, it's looking like Fallon Sherrick and Noah Lynn Van Leeuwen for the World Championships.
So Noah's not going to take Lakeside either then? Isn't going to do Lakeside. Right. Okay.
But that's at the moment. That could change because look at people that are playing well at the minute. Gemma Hayter. Mikuru Suzuki, Rianne's been playing very well all year. Anastasia getting back to a bit of form as well. Trina Gulliver's always dangerous.
Lisa.
And Paige Pauling. Oh, what a player she is. I think she's 16 years old. Oh,
okay.
Fantastic player.
They're going to be the next big star then.
I tell you what, youth women's is incredible at the moment. Good. There's one, like Ipswich, I think she's called Ruby. She's decent. Sophie McKinsley, I think it is. She's popping in 80 averages, like 15, 16-year-old.
Wow.
So the women's game is going to be in a very good place in a couple of years because there's some really good ones coming through. So these ladies at the top need to be looking over their shoulder because there's some...
I can't believe we've got 20 minutes in, Matt, and we haven't spoken about our big news. What's happening on Wednesdays every week? Starting next week.
Oh, I can't. We're going to get to see that episode, actually. By the time this goes out, we'd have seen episode one.
Yes, we will. Series 2, episode 1, Rate My Hockey. Do not miss that. That is just going to be so good. The new series, so good. Some incredible venues and some other incredible venues for different reasons, really.
And it's going to be the same time every week.
7 o'clock, I believe, Wednesday night.
7 o'clock every Wednesday, probably leading you all the way up until Christmas right about now.
Yeah. So that is super exciting, starting next week. I know, obviously, we've been away. We've had holidays and we've been away filming and everything else, and the content hasn't been there, and it's been noted. People have noted it. But we've been banging some shorts out and people are loving the shorts, you know, just something a little bit different. Loving the relatability of some of the shorts that we've done from a lot of them, from our memories of playing in darts teams, in pub teams and things. So relatable to people.
It's because they're just so, like you say, every league has that guy. Every team has this guy. Every night has this guy. And there's always one. And like, I remember I went across and watched, because the missus is playing some darts in local leagues and things. And I went along and I sat there with a pen and paper and I just made notes of people. And yes, they're exaggerated versions of what they are, but that's what makes them funny. And I just sat there and I'm like, that guy's like got every excuse for why he can't have a go on the card. That guy's having 10 goes on the card. This person is only just turned up, played and gone. That person wants to leave the second they've played. This person's clearly trying to do everything not to mark. Oh, he's going for a drink. Oh, he's going for a, oh, I'm going to toilet now. Just hoping someone will step in and start the game and then he'll come back in the room again. Someone complaining because someone's playing pool on the other side of the room. And
I mean, I got one that's actually not relatable because this doesn't happen in every team. But there was a team we used to play and there was a guy in that team that never took his coat off. Never. So the middle of summer, it's 30 degrees. We've all got T-shirts. We're absolutely sweating. This guy's playing in a bomber jacket and he never took it off. And I'm like, you could... At darts, you see things that you just, when you relate back to people, do you remember that guy who was playing his Caroline? What was that all about? Like you say, the guy that's chittering every time he throws three darts. I've got comments today, Matt. I've printed off some comments and questions.
Oh, I love this. This is something I've really wanted to do. So just to introduce, because me and Andy's obviously spoke about this, just to give you an idea when you're watching along what we're doing, is certainly when Rate My Hockey's out as well, we are going to be looking through all the videos, whether it's a practice tip, a thing. We're going to look at every single comment. We're going to pick out some of those comments and we're going to address them right here on this channel. We're actually going to answer them the best way we can. So, yeah, get commenting away if you see something you deserve.
Whoever sent us the great questions or the great comments, you're going to get a shout out. And the first one relates to the question that I posed at the end of last week's podcast, which was the one time I was on stage at the UK Open, who beat me? And Stead 6814 has got, I believe, Andy lost 3-4, which is correct, to John Bowles. Do you remember John Bowles?
Yes. The Bulldog.
St. Helens man. Yeah. It's a breeding ground over there. And he'd also, same guy, because we were asking for your top five players without tour cards, and we said Connor Scott and Wesley were nailed on for the first two. So his suggestion was Harrison, which I know you're a fan of.
Harry.
Greaves, which I think we touched on, Bo. And Jansen. Now.
Oh, Danny Jansen.
Jansen, isn't it? Yeah, not Jansen. Yeah, Danny Jansen.
That's the Bolton in you coming out, isn't it?
And he's also put in Big John Henderson as an extra, which we never mentioned Big John, did we?
So that's because his form's quite not been. I think that's very short-minded that the form's just not been there, so you don't select him. But longevity and I get the argument. Yeah.
So, on to the next one. Ryan Price -OV3FZ. So I'm guessing his name is Ryan Price.
It might be OV3FZ.
It could be. You never know in this 2024. So he's picked out a episode of Rate My Hockey from Series 1. And I thought you could comment on this because he's put on this episode, it looks like you've picked the worst board to review. Granted, the best boards with cameras would have been a good idea to review, but there must have been a reason why you've picked the worst board.
Barrett's in Northampton.
I'm not sure. I haven't got the Rate My Hockey episode next to it.
I think you can talk about
why we've done that in the past.
So I saw that in regards to the Barretts, I think it was. And when you said cameras on the board, I think that just confirms it's Barretts because that's where they had the cameras on the thing. So that wasn't the worst board at all. That was actually probably the best board. sometimes the video doesn't show it because actually the other boards were in the snooker hall. They had pool tables and snooker tables in between the shots.
They did.
This was in a separate room at the back where they'd play their Super League or you'd play your main thing. It was the match board rather than the tournament board.
And I think sometimes these people, when they send in a request to go to a venue, they only play it on match night. When all the pool tables have been moved, they forget that we walk in on a Monday afternoon and go, right, what can we play on? Or whatever day it is. So you can't always compare like for like here. I'm sure on a Thursday night league when everything's been moved and it's all set up, it's magnificent, but we can only race it at the time we go in.
Well, to add to that, we know what Series 2 of Rate My Hockey is. We know what Series 3 of Rate My Hockey is. We know we want to eventually go into Europe with Rate My Hockey. But I suggested over dinner one time, I says, Andy's not a two-split personality. Andy's our video guy. Keeps it simple. You know, same name. It's great.
Easy for you to remember,
I said, how about we do Rate My Hockey Super League edition, where we go around everyone's venue and we rate their Super League. And everyone went, fantastic. What a great idea. That could be a great series. But Andy Cornwall turned around and he goes, hang on a minute. He goes, just thinking about this, when I go to Super League night, it takes 30 minutes to set the room up how we have it for Super League. And I thought, you're right, because I remember the same. We'd have to get there early, put the board up, put the practice board, make sure the tables are right, put the computer where it needs to go. We'd go into a venue that wouldn't look like it looks on Super League night. And because of that, I think it'd be unfair. The only way it could work is if Super League teams and venues get hold of us and say, if you come on Tuesday at 2 o'clock, we'll have the room set up how we do on Super League night.
That's
the only way we could do it. Because, I mean, where I used to play
Super League, we'll all be on the same night as well. The, you know what I mean? If you went to one area, all the Super Leagues would be on the same night. So it'd be very, very difficult to do. It would. But something, to, and funnily enough, you mentioned Europe then, which leads me bang on to the next question. This is Durky B. Any chance of coming to NL, which is Holland, isn't it, to Vincent van der Voort's shop?
Well, we might be doing some shops very soon in regards to a tour and an episode and a series that's coming out. The main thing I can say about that is I am probably Andy's biggest nightmare. And I am probably the most ambitious person when it comes to this YouTube channel. And I say to Andy, Andy, let's do this. And he goes, Matt, that's about $6,000.
That's about $6,000 and 6 weeks of your time.
And I'm, and he's like, we can't do that right now. But this is how it works. Andy needs to look at the budgets and the do's and the don'ts. I get ambitious and I put stupid suggestions out there. Now, the more subscribers this channel has, the more weight I've got to go to Andy and say, we've got 20, 30, 40,000 people who need entertaining. They need this content. Get the budget sorted. And then Andy can't turn around to me then and go, Matt, we can't go $5,000 over to Europe. It's going to, we've got to take three people over there, all the cameras, all the bits. We've got hotels and travel and all this stuff. The more subscribers we've got, the more weight I've got to, I've got a list, and I mean a list of stuff that Andy always has to try and look and filter me through and say, can't do that yet. We can't, we can maybe do that one, you know.
But we've already in 6 months done all, you know, gone, I think we've done our 6 months plan, or sorry, our 12 months plan in 6 months. So maybe our 5 year plan might be 2 years. So
I want to go to America as well. I want to be over in America, Canada. I want to break my fucking walls.
Mars or, you know.
See, this is what I have to deal with.
We'd be the first people to play darts on the moon. I mean, I don't know. Is that in the budget? I don't know. You know. Anyway, moving on. So,
I would have spent the budget by February, I think.
By the 2nd of January, I think. Matador Darts. At Matador Darts, which I think is another channel, I've asked, my local snooker club used to have, in fact, this is a comment which I want you to comment on. My local snooker club used to have an open dartboard and two booth dartboard rooms you could hire about 6 years ago, and they got rid of them. This year, they've put up six boards, even getting rid of a max table to accommodate four more new boards, and put an extra board up on the existing board they already had. Monthly tournaments, Super League, two local teams later, and they're buzzing from the revenue it's generated. I thought it was a great comment to go, we had a go a few years ago, it didn't take off, and now look what's happening to the world of darts.
Okay, interesting. And also, I believe he's from the east of the country, sort of Ipswich, Norwichy sort of way, which, if that's the case, maybe we have to add that to the list of places we need to go, because I also know Arrowheads is over there as well, that new shop that looks incredible. I think we've got to get there. So maybe we need to pay a bit of a trip over to the east side of the UK. What's that for you, Andy? Just a six-hour drive?
Yeah, just Clapton on Sea again, isn't it? 6.5 hours. But, yeah, it's interesting that a local snooker club now sounds like, 6 years on, is now a local darts club. That's a sign of the times. I don't think snooker's as fashionable with young people anymore, and darts certainly is. So it's a sign of what we've seen out on the road, where we've gone, whoa, didn't see this coming. This is, wow, this is amazing.
But what I do see with that, snooker clubs doing that. But at the end of the day, that's where darts is going now, because the traditional English boozer that had a board over the fireplace, they're gone. They're going to food and getting chefs in and things.
Yeah.
So it's going more toward, as you'll see with Rate Market 2, it's more snooker halls and things. Yeah. But with that, I think we're going to see an industry change as well, because those snooker halls and venues are used to making money on a light fee. You know, I go play snooker, it's £10 an hour for the light to be turned on.
Yeah.
I reckon we're going to see that in darts. Now, we've seen this. We've travelled the country in regards to filming Rate My Hockeys, and we're seeing more and more it's £5 an hour, £10 an hour to play darts. The increase in cost in materials, dart boards. I think this light fee is going to be industry-wide and industry-common within the next 5 years.
So I've got two takes on that. And I see both angles. And angle number one is my head says, I don't like that. I don't like playing for darts because I'm used to going into venues where there's a board. I chuck my darts. I usually buy 3 or 4 pints. My money's spent. However, if I go into a venue and there's a brand new dart board up there and proper lighting, I'm thinking Rate My Hockey, and I think, wow, then I'm quite happy to pay. So I think it depends on what, you know, if you just chuck, if there's a board up there that's been rotated 18 times, it's on its last legs, there's one spotlight over it, I'm sorry, but I'm not paying. I'll spend my money over the bar with you and thank you. But if I go in a venue and it's everything's brand new boards up there, then I'm quite happy to pay an hourly rate. And those are kind of my two takes on it.
Well, I fully agree with you. I don't like it. That's probably part of what I've grown up in and around, that is going to a venue and play darts. But it's coming.
Yeah, I think so.
It's coming. I don't think there's any stopping this. This is the way it's going. Some dartboards now, £70-80.
Yes.
To put a dartboard up. Now, you go into a venue, how long is that £70-80 board going to last?
Yeah.
And what is the profit on... Yeah. A drink once you've factored in all the costs of it.
Electric and I get that.
How many pints do you need someone to drink in a game of darts just to cover the cost of the board?
And so potentially the young ones now don't drink as much, so it's Coke, tap water, whatever it is. So I do see that angle from you there. I do see that maybe it's just a different world now and it has to be done differently. And you know, the paying buyout, and also the supply and demand. How many places have we been where there's 8 boards and they're all being played on? Yeah. So in that case, you're going to need to board. Remember, even in Series 1, when we walked in and we couldn't, there was not a board to review because it was full. And they said, you're going to have to come back.
£7 an hour.
Yeah, you're going to have to come back about 6 o'clock, mate, because we're booked out. So if that's the case, then it's going to have to be chargeable, isn't it? Otherwise...
It's the way it's going. I think Flight Club set the tone to show that it is doable. I think some places have really embraced it, like Barrett's in Northampton, when they had the computerized and the graphics and all those different things. They did some really good stuff, but I can't see. And this would be really interesting to get some comments on what people think about this, because it doesn't sit right with me in the fact I don't like it, but on the same aspect, the businessman in me, I see it and I see nothing but this taking over. I think this is the way it goes, and there's no stopping it.
I agree. So, Daniela Sadeering, I think it is. What categories will there be in the Rate My Hockey Home edition that will be different from the normal one? So I think we can talk about this. We've done the filming. And we decided we weren't going to go with the 10 categories thing because everywhere is going to be different. So if you just want to talk a little bit, Matt, about what we did.
Yeah, so when we got there, originally we had a criteria. We had what we was going to judge and what we was going to do it over. And then we got to these homes and we got to these venues and it was amazing.
Mm.
And we almost didn't want to do a Rate My Hockey with it because what we'd rather do is showcase how good it was, the considerations, everything that went into it, because
people behind it, which we don't do at Array Myok, which we don't do, you know, we speak to what's
more personal, wasn't it?
Yeah, personal.
And it looked like a showcase was so much better than a grading system. So we're going to highlight all the good stuff, everything they've done. I mean, Harsh Andy, of course, found a few things.
I'll find something, find something.
I'm going to give you a spoiler here. He marked someone down because they had a fan, not an air conditioning unit, in a shed in their back garden.
Look, it's the same anyway. You can't have a fan. Your darts don't fly properly. If you've got an air conditioning, you can get the room cold and then turn it off. It's just genius. Anyway, Joe Bird 2744 has said, can your stance affect the darts and the foot placement? So I think what he's saying is standing in a different place affects how your darts go.
Foot placement is the very first thing I ever teach when I coach. It is the most important factor. And everyone will tell you the different things. Oh, the elbow, the follow through, all these different things. The most important factor is foot placement.
Yeah.
Because what's the point in having a Ferrari if you've got no tires? The engine might be the best engine in the world, but it's going nowhere.
Yeah,
and it's the same with this foot placement. Foot placement sorts out your alignment, your body alignment, your center of mass, your hip alignment, which will cause potential rotation, which means then you're using core muscles. There is so much just by having your foot out by a couple of inches could have you out by 2.5 to 3 dartboards just by having that alignment wrong. So.
And then you end up changing something else to make the dart fly straight, and you're trying to make two wrongs make a right.
The basic way to look at it in a simple sports science sense is what you are connected to the floor with, what is rooting you in, that is the base of support. So what we do, we draw around the base of support, which will give us a shape. Now, a lot of the time, that shape that we draw, you will see come out on the dartboard. And I show people this a lot all the time, that actually your foot placement being off like this means you're going to go low 5, treble 20, high 1. That'll be your miss. And they go, how do you know that? I'm like, tell me. Just looking at your feet will show me how you're going to cut across the dartboard. But anyway, we draw around that circle. Then we take the center of mass, which will be your core, the center of your core. We draw down that line. That will be our central line of gravity. And where that hits within that shape will determine, for me, what you need in regards to a lean, what you need in regards to an elbow position and all these different things. Now, if that's out, it doesn't matter how much you concentrate on your grip, your dart, all these different things. If the foot position is out, forget it, because it's always going to be wrong. You're always going to be then what you'll do, you'll twist.
Yeah.
And then you'll go, I get an ache in my lower back when I play.
Yeah,
because you're using muscles to support you rather than just your natural stance. And, you know, when we look at musculoskeletal system, very, very fancy way of saying your bones and your muscles, their primary function of the musculoskeletal system is movement. So if my bones want me to be this way and my muscles want me to be this way, all that does is cause tension, which is going to cause rotation or aches and pains.
And I can't even count the amount of people I've seen that have stood a long way to one side or a long way to the other, and they've developed this action like this to get the dart in the right place, you know, and then you go, let's just go back to the beginning. Anyway, I've got one final one for you, Matt, this week. This is an interesting one because this is a Big Geordie, Big Geordie 245, and I think he wants us to pay him a visit because he said we could do a nice video where you can hear my vaguely uninteresting story of how darts helped save me and survive after a life-changing heart attack. Matt Egger could rate my hockey, which is in my shed, and he could fit me for a set of darts and taste my stock of beer and whiskey, and Alan Souter can play me best of 3. and your new tech guy can make it all look good. And I thought that was a great way to a great comment, that one. So thanks, Big Geordie 245. That does sound like a day out that we'd all enjoy.
And I'm guessing from Newcastle.
Well, I'm guessing so too, yeah. And that's a part of the country that we haven't been yet. But we will be doing. So that's all your comments and questions for this week. Matt, anything else on your mind?
Nothing that can't wait till next week.
You normally put me right on the spot like you did last week. Top five players I haven't got to talk on. Oh, my God. Right, okay.
Okay. If you want that, you're going to get it.
Stop.
Let's go with a conversation we had earlier. Top five female dart players as we go into the final women's series of the season. Top five female dart players in 2024.
Right now.
Maureen Flowers
was there right in my head straight away, but can't have her because she's... okay, so the top five.
If anyone doesn't say Bo Greaves in their top five, please unsubscribe now and never come back.
So... top five players on current form or top five players that will be there?
Top five players. If you had to pick a team to go represent England, to represent the world against Mars Attacks.
Yeah, okay. So therefore, I'm going to leave Trina Gulliver out, but she would have been in my top five, you know, players that will be there because of what she's done. But I don't think her form's that good these days. So I'm going to go Bo Greaves, Rhiann O'Sullivan, Fallon Sherrick, Lisa Ashton. Oh, and then I'm between two. Do I go Dita or do I go Anastasia? On current form, I'll go Anastasia.
Okay, controversial.
That's my thought.
I thought if you was going two, I thought you would be looking at Makura Suzuki.
Oh, yeah.
Or Gemma Hayter.
Now, that's a name I don't really know, so...
You'll know it very, very soon. I think we'll also have Paige Pauling into that in the very, very near future as well.
Yeah. Okay. Would you have gone Dita or would you have gone Anastasia?
I wouldn't have gone either.
Okay. There's a fence over there. Brilliant. No, it's going to be very interesting. And like you say, by the time this comes out, we'll probably be right in the middle of that. So good luck to all the ladies for that. And hope it goes well. And we'll see who gets through.
And the next time we see people, they'd have seen Rate My Hockey Series 2, Episode 1.
So it'll be very... We should have some good comments. We should have some things.
Just before we go, there's going to be a teaser coming out for it very soon. I'll tell you right now, because if you watch this, why shouldn't you get a little bit more information? It's from Clacton-on-Sea. And we went to Clacton-on-Sea. We parked in the car park. We've done Rate My Hockey. We're going back to the car. It's 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And there's a guy in the car park sat. So he's got his missus in the front seat.
Yeah.
He's pushed the seat of the driver's seat forward and he's sat in the back with guitar.
With the door open. Just like you do on a Monday evening, you sit in a car park, your missus is in the front and you're on the back seat playing her a tune. Absolutely, you couldn't make it up, Matt. Only one week away. So I've never seen it like it. Amazing. Good to talk to you as always. Don't forget to like and subscribe, guys. This is now going to be on the podcast section of YouTube, remember, not on the main section. And we'll see you Wednesday for Rate My Hockey.
Do subscribe, because then he's got no choice but to go along with my ideas.
Yeah. The more subscribers, the bigger the budget. Thanks, Matt. See you soon.